Hello, listeners, and welcome to the NK News Podcast. I'm your host, Jacko Zwetsloot, and today's podcast was recorded here in
Seoul. Jacko!
What?
Jacko!
Ollie, I'm doing a podcast.
I'm sorry, I had to interrupt. I've got urgent breaking news.
Oh, listeners, you are about to hear something here first, right now, on the NK News Podcast. What is it, Ollie? What have you got?
Well, because it's that magical time of year once again, our NK shop is now live. You can get all of your Christmas essentials, including NK News calendars, t-shirts, posters, all sorts of things.
Is this an ad break?
It is an ad break, yes, indeed.
Oh, well, if you can't beat them, let's join them. Tell me more about this calendar, Ollie. Is it filled with wonderful photographs taken by the best NK News photographers?
It is indeed. We have 12 wonderful photos of daily life in North Korea for every month of the year. A rare glimpse, if you will.
Oh, is it one picture per month, or is it one of those wonky calendars where you get 2 months per picture?
It's one picture per month.
Okay, so 12 rare glimpses.
12 rare glimpses just for NK News readers. And you know what the best part is?
What is it?
Every cent that goes towards our NK News calendar goes towards funding NK News, funding this podcast. If you want to support the show and if you want to support the website, the best thing you can do, apart from subscribing, obviously, is buying one of these calendars. It'll look great on your office wall, on your wall at home, even
the bathroom, of course. So, Ollie, is there a code that people can use at the checkout of the NK News shop to get a discount?
There is indeed. If you're listening to the podcast, you can use the code PODCAST at the checkout for a $10 discount.
That's great. So if I'm buying a t-shirt and I get a $10 discount, it's almost like I'm getting it at two-thirds of the price or something. It's wonderful. So that is nkshop.org.
The code is PODCAST.
The code is PODCAST. Welcome, listeners, to the NK News Podcast, recorded here in Seoul on Thursday, the 28th of November, 2019. And today's guest is Ms. Dagyeom Ji, or Ji Dagyeom. Please remember to have a look at the nkshop.org for all your holiday gift ideas and use the code PODCAST at the checkout to enjoy a $10 discount voucher. Dagyeom Ji was, until this week, a senior NK News correspondent based in Seoul. Dagyeom wrote countless stories for NK News and NK Pro and also appeared on this podcast's roundtable numerous times. She previously worked for Reuters TV and will be greatly missed by the NK News family. Welcome, Dagyeom. Thanks for joining me.
안녕하세요. Thank you for hosting me.
How did you come to work for NK News?
Actually, Chad met my professors at an event hosted by Indian Embassy back in July 2016. And Chad asked my professor to introduce a decent journalist who can work for NK News. So my professor called me when I worked for Reuters TV and asked if I was willing to work for NK News. And at that time, I really want to be a pen writer. And I want to write my articles because I worked for a TV team. And then, yeah, that's why I had decided to work for NK News after my professor made suggestions. And I think maybe I was destined to work for NK News because they met each other at the event accidentally. So
yeah,
it's kind of like drama, yeah.
So you've been here for a little bit more than 3 years now.
Yes, 3 years and 3 months since August 2016.
And when you first began, how much did you know about North Korea?
When I worked for Reuters TV, I used to monitor North Korean state media. And I have to closely monitor Korean Central TV on a daily basis as well. And I also cover all the issues on the ground, including major inner Korean major event on the ground as a producer, assistant producer, as well as an intern. I think I had rough idea of North Korean issues back in 2016.
Do you think you held any prejudices, illusions, or preconceived ideas about North Korea that you had to change or let go of?
I work for a news agency and I was trained to be neutral and I have to make neutral and accurate report of North Korea. So I has tried to be not to be biased in a way. So I don't have any like perception, certain perception of North Korea. I had a personal interest in studying North Korean issues before joining NK News. And I studied international security studies. From my perspective, North Korea was the part of the country on the peninsula. And I try to analyze North Korea from the perspective of international relations. So I try not to be biased. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, do you remember the first story that you wrote for NK News 3 years and 3 months ago?
Yes, remember that. I covered North Korea's first ever beer festival held in Pyongyang. Guardians pick up my article eventually. So that was one of the unforgettable moments at NK News. It was kind of surreal that Guardian picked up my article, and it really encouraged me to become a like hardworking journalist. And I, at the time, I had decided that, oh, I should work hard to become a like better journalist.
Now, 3 years later, do you feel like you've learned a lot?
Yes, I worked for NK News from 2016 and 2019, where all the complications took place on the Korean Peninsula. Back in 2016 and 17, Oliver and I really had difficulties in, had trouble in covering missile news, which took place at 5 or 6 a.m. Mm. So I couldn't sleep well for 2 years. And we, of course, lost a lot of weight, yeah, while covering news. And that was really hard time. But then after Kim Jong-un, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un delivered a New Year's speech, there was a sudden changes on the Korean Peninsula. And since then, I had to cover all the inter-Korean meetings and DPRK, US-North Korea summit as well. So I went through all the up and downs on the Korean Peninsula. And I think I was lucky enough to be there as a journalist. That was the perfect timing to be working as a journalist with expertise with North Korean issues.
And how do you feel your skills as a journalist have developed?
You know, NK News is not the major media who has like 50 journalists in Seoul. So I have to handle a lot of issues by myself. So I have to learn hands-on experience while covering news. For example, when I cover the first summit between North Korea and the US, I accidentally met Randall Shriver. Yeah, I tried to chase after him, and then he ran away from me, and he ran into the toilet.
Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore.
Oh.
He ran into the toilet to avoid me.
Wow.
So I had to handle a number of difficult situations while working as a working for NK News as a journalist. And then, yeah, through the process, I could learn a lot on the ground in a way. Yeah.
Is it difficult as a journalist to get accurate and timely information from the South Korean government about North Korea?
Yes, in a way. I mean, there is a certain barrier that a journalist who works for foreign media can access information here. Even though I wanted to make accurate report swiftly, sometimes I felt frustrated over ongoing situations that other people may not be able to understand in a way.
Does the South Korean government treat Korean journalists who work for foreign news agencies differently?
There is a certain gap between the local and foreign media. I mean, naturally. So I mean, in South Korea, there is a like, pre system in which only local media can only join. So,
what kind of system?
Pool system.
The pool system.
Yes. If a journalist working for foreign media have naturally limitations in covering news here.
I want to hear more about the pool system. How does that work? Is it the local journalists try to keep out the foreign journalists, or how does it?
Not really. Like the White House or the State Department, like every government agency has its press corps of journalists who regularly cover news while listening to press briefing on a daily basis. So I don't think South Korea government has special system compared to other countries. But the thing is, they try to raise the threshold in a way against the foreign media from my perspective.
So how did you develop techniques to obtain the information that you wanted from government sources?
I really try hard to prove my sincerity as a journalist. When I first joined NK News, no one actually knew about NK News, and that's the biggest barrier that I communicate with the government officials. So, for example, whenever I cover inter-Korean summit or high-level inter-Korean talks at the press center, I usually stay until 11 p.m. To make more decent report. And one MOU official actually saw me working hard. Then since then, the official gave me a lot of information because she actually acknowledged my sincerity as a journalist with expertise in risk reactions.
That's great. Was there any organization which was difficult, consistently difficult to get information out of or to get permission to attend their briefings?
I hope to attend brief parliamentary briefing after the spy agency National Intelligence Service provide closer briefing to the lawmakers, but then I couldn't make it anyway. So that the National Assembly, I don't have much access. I also try to work with the NIS, spy agency.
Yeah.
Then I think I fail in making cooperation relations naturally. I just say as time goes by, all the ministry appear to be more cooperative in a way. But then especially, I want to express my gratitude toward the Ministry of National Defense and Ministry of Unification, who helped me a lot in covering inter-Korean news on the peninsula. I don't work for major media, but then they try to help me a lot in making this and report.
Can we talk a little bit more about Korean media, local domestic media reporting on North Korea? The Korean domestic media is often criticized for being based on single sources, anonymous sources, rumors, and unverified claims. For example, when someone is reported to have been executed in North Korea but then turns up alive, what's going on there? How do you see that?
I think the fundamental cause of this issue is that the South Korean media almost has no access to credible sources, which is no one's fault. If someone staying in South Korea, they can't actually read a media report of Korean Central News Agency and they can't access North Korean state media. So there are certain barriers accessing information coming from North Korea. And the South Korean reporter can actually check and double check with the officials staying in North Korea. So I think to resolve the issues, we have to be more open to information coming from North Korea. I know the situations very well, but then there is also National Security Act, but then the setting of the limitations itself actually create a huge problem on the Korean Peninsula, and it really jeopardized the quality of media reports. So I think we have to fix this issue first before blaming anyone.
Okay, but Yonhap does have a North Korean media monitoring room.
Journalist is an exceptional case. And what I'm trying to say is that if the public can access North Korean state media in a way, I think people can judge if the news report is correct or not, right? But then at this point, South Korean people can still judge if this is correct because they don't have almost no information of North Korea. I mean, I don't believe that people will be fascinated by watching KCTV, but then people may have wrong perception of North Korea because they know nothing of North Korea. So I think the fundamental problem is that we don't have any access to North Korean media and all the sources related to the issue.
Now, obviously, you're perhaps a little bit biased, but does NK News do a better job at reporting on North Korea?
Yes, I may be biased, but then I think NK News has been doing a great job in a way. Because the fact that NK News and Pro operates based on subscription fee, and we don't get funded by any government agency or any company unlike other media, so we can't be accurate. We can try not to be biased in a way. So South Korean media have to make close connection with a certain company or government to get funded. But then NK News doesn't have to make any close connections to get funded. So the fact that we can be independent, that helps NK News make more accurate report compared to other media.
But from my experience of reading NK News articles, and of course, even though I do the podcast, I don't actually write for NK News, but I do read it. And what I see as being a key difference is that NK News stories are based on multiple sources, not just a single source. So not just, for example, sometimes you might read in a domestic report, an unnamed source from a government ministry said that somebody has been, Mr. So-and-so has been killed in North Korea. And that sort of story wouldn't get a play in NK News because there's always multiple sources, so at least two or more people saying something independently.
Yes, correct. Sometimes it takes a long time to verify the report. Even though you're not published article, we have to double-check with the government official if the quotes are correct or not. But then I think accuracy is the most important in making report, especially related to North Korea. That's the first goal of NK News, make accurate report.
Right, and some other agencies put speed as the top priority, and so sometimes accuracy can be sacrificed in favor of speed. And here we're a bit more careful, so we sacrifice speed in favor of accuracy. Would that be correct?
I mean, it depends on the characteristic of news agency, but I think NK News is not news agency, mm-hmm. and I do believe that we produce in-depth news and in-depth analysis compared to other media. But I think from our perspective, pursuing accuracy is like better compared, yeah.
Do you have a favorite story or series of stories that you worked on?
I do love covering summit, I mean, inner Korean summit and summit between North Korea and the U.S. The fact that I can actually record a historic moment as a journalist. So, for example, when I covered the first inner Korean summit, I watched the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in shook hands. And then, especially as a South Korean reporter, I still can't describe how I felt at the moment.
Yeah.
No, so it was really an honor to cover such important event on the ground.
Was there a story in your 3 years and 3 months here that made you laugh or was just very strange about North Korea?
I mean, the thing is, North Korea is also a country. And I think they definitely have Viagra and they definitely have their weird stuff. So I think the thing is, we have to consider North Korea as the one of many countries. I mean, there are people there and people have their sexual life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So from my perspective, it's no surprise in a way that they have weird stuff going on.
Now, as a South Korean, have you ever visited North Korea?
Frankly speaking, I'm really frustrated over the fact that I can't visit North Korea just because that I'm a South Korean. Especially whenever inner Korean event happen, North Korean North Korean government always ask the South Korean government not to bring people working for foreign media as well. So there is no way that I can actually visit North Korea as a journalist because I'm a South Korean and I'm a South Korean reporter working for foreign media. So I have a like huge barrier in visiting North Korea. And
yeah.
I do really want to visit North Korea and to see what's going on there because the first thing I wake up is to read Rodong Shinmun.
Uh-huh.
And I always check all the photos coming from North Korea. But then the thing is, I can't visit North Korea, although I'm a journalist with expertise in North Korea, doesn't make sense for me. So whenever Chad and other staff visit North Korea, except for me, I really feel frustrated. And I sometimes think that, do I have to change my career path? And do I have to give up like studying North Korea in a way? And whenever I speak to South Korean expert who study North Korea for decades, and they also have the same feeling. This is really a huge problem though, yeah.
Okay. As a South Korean, how do you feel about the state of inter-Korean relations now?
As everyone knows that inter-Korean relations appear to have reached an impasse in a way, but I'm really regretful that the clock has stopped on the Korean peninsula. What I really want to say is that the two Korea missed a golden opportunity to resolve long-time distrust and misunderstanding of each other and boost civilian exchanges, including reuniting separate families in a way and overcoming ideological difference. So as a South Korean, I'm really sad that because the South Korean government had put a lot of effort into improving inter-Korean relations like for several years, but then now we may go back to the scare in a way. Or the inter-Korean relations may get worse compared to one before 2016. So that makes me really concerned. But then the thing is, I also want to mention that we should also keep in mind the old African proverb that says, If you want to go too quickly, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. I read this tweet mentioned by Dr. Shin Chang-un, and I really agree with this saying that I think inner Korean issues can be resolved quickly. And we have to consider like other external factors, including the ROK, US alliance, and all the stuff going on and sanction framework. But then I think if the South Korean government want, they can fix the issue easily. They can just ignore international sanction framework, and they can just resume the mountain Gangnam tourism because it's not in violation of sanctions. The thing is, the South Korean government appear to consider and embrace other factors. So in a way, we have to be more patient to see the outcomes with the long-term perspective.
But the problem with being patient is that North Korea is not very patient, right? Kim Jong-un has set a deadline.
I'm not defending Kim Jong-un, but I think there must be miscommunications between the two Koreas. For example, I wanted to use this metaphor that if someone tried to match a woman and man, and they married actually, but then they figure out later that they can't live together and they got divorced. In this situation, I think the couple naturally blame the matchmaker in a way. I think the matchmaker here is the South Korean government, and the couple are the US and North Korea. So, but the thing is, I wanted to point out that in these situations, the matchmaker also should take the responsibility. I think the South Korean government is the one who actually persuaded Kim Jong-un to come forward the negotiation table and have a talk with the U.S. And they also made commitment to improving inter-Korean economic cooperations. South Korean President Moon Jae-in has reiterated the peace economy, which is not feasible under the international sanction framework. So from North Korea's perspective, I think Kim Jong-un could be frustrated over ongoing situations and over the South Korea not keeping their promise. I mean, it's a complicated issue, but then I think the South Korean government caused the problem in a way. When they pledged to resume Kaesong Industrial Complex and boost inter-Korean economic cooperations, I don't believe that they consider the factors such as international sanction framework. So it was in rush to make achievement in a way. So that's why we are facing such difficult situations.
Did you say earlier that you think the South Korean government should ignore the international sanctions framework?
Not really. The thing is, if South Koreans wanted to improve inter-Korean relations disregarding the ROK-US alliance, then they could resume Mountain Kumgang tourism, which North Korea really want, because the opening of tourism or the operation of tourism itself is not in violation of sanction framework technically. So if South Korean government want to focus on improving inter-Korean relations solely, then it could find a way to do it. But then they don't do it because they believe that other factors, including alliance and cooperation with the international community, are also important. That's why the South Korean government and media shouldn't criticize too much. I mean, constructive criticism is always okay, but then criticism for the sake of criticism, I don't think it's good for everyone.
Do you think the North Korean government really wants the resumption of Kumgangsan tours?
Yes, I think tourism itself could be a major cash cow for the North Korean government, which don't have much tech and other stuff. And then another evidence is that when Kim Jong-un delivered New Year's speech this year, he said he's willing to open Kaesong Industrial Complex and he's open Mountain Kumgang tourism without precondition.
But more recently, the signs from North Korea about Kumgangsan specifically have been more negative, haven't they? That South Korea said, we'd like to do something, and North Korea says, no, and in fact, we're thinking about tearing down all of your buildings.
You know, it's the North Korean external state media had said that they want the resumption of Mountain Kumgang. But then the thing is, they also said the South Korean government should be independent. it means that South Korean government should pursue inter-Korean economic cooperations independently without considering international sanctions framework. But the thing is, South Korean government always said that, oh, to resume inter-Korean economic cooperation, we need to discuss the issue with the U.S. And even when South Korean President Moon Jae-in delivered a speech on March 1st movement, he said that, oh, I would discuss the issue of resuming Mountain Geungang tourism and resuming Kaesong industrial complex with the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Then from North Korean perspective, they kept saying that, oh, South Korean government should be independent in resuming inter-Korean economic cooperation. But then South Korean government had said that, oh, we need consultations with the U.S. That must make North Korea frustrated in a way. That's why Kim Jong-un eventually said that, oh, we don't need cooperation with the South Korean government. We will unilaterally tear down all the facilities built by the South Korean company and government. That's my point of view.
Are you worried about the future of North-South relations?
Yes. My concern is that the severance of inter-Korean relations may lead to North Korea's military provocations against South Korea. Actually, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un visited Changrin Island, which is located nearby the inter-Korean maritime belt, last Saturday.
Is that near Yeonpyeongdo?
Yeah, it's near Yeonpyeongdo, yeah.
Which was, for our listeners at home, Yeonpyeongdo was shelled by North Korean artillery in
November 23rd, yeah. And then the thing is, North Korean military conducted coastal artillery drills on Saturday. But the thing is, Saturday is the 9th anniversary of the bombardment of Yeonpyeong Island.
Mm.
So I think this is kind of signal that North Korea make military provocations against South Korea. And I do believe that it may relate to North Korea's new path pledged by Kim Jong-un in his policy speech in April. And also, North Korean state media has reported about their new weapon system. And Kim Jong-un several times inspect and guide the test of new weapon system and in relations to bolstering their self-defensive national capability. So that make me really concerned that their new path may be related to military actions against South Korea with conventional weapons.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen. Now, I understand that you're leaving, not only are you leaving NK News, but you're also leaving Seoul, leaving the Korean Peninsula to take up a new position in Washington, D.C. on December the 2nd. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm leaving Seoul on December 2nd.
Right, so that's almost a month before the self-imposed deadline by Kim Jong-un on progress in U.S.-North Korea relations. So are you deliberately getting out of Seoul because of your concern about what might happen here, a conventional weapons attack?
Not really. Well, actually, I wish that I could cover Kim Jong-un's nearest visit and NK News, but then I was asked to fly out to D.C. in December. And yeah, and we...
I do a missile test, and I'm not even kidding.
What?
Yes, okay.
We'll be there in a moment.
Yes.
Can you tell us where you'll be starting?
For now, it's off the record, so I can't say where I will work for, but then I think our readers will figure out by reading my articles, maybe in mid-December, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dagyeomju. You better go out there and cover the missile test while I read the end of this podcast.
Yes.
Thank you, Dagyeomju. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and consider buying a subscription to nknews.org, where you'll find the best and most up-to-date specialist journalism on all matters related to North Korea. Visit nkshop.org for all your Christmas gift ideas and use the code podcast at the checkout to get a $10 discount voucher. Our thanks, as always, to James Fretwell and Chad O'Carroll for facilitating this podcast, and to Arias Dare, our post-recording producer genius. Costs involved in the production of this podcast were partially funded by the UniKorea Fund, for which we are extremely grateful. Thanks, and listen again next time.